This podcast is brought to you in part by ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Whether you're buying or selling home, condo, or any type of property, trust Amanda to help match you with up to three top agents in your area. ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Hey, all you rock stars from Washington, D.C. This is the Rock on the Money podcast, episode 101. Time to talk about saving, investing, and protecting all of those hard-earned monies. We're here to coach you along that path to retirement and financial independence. I'm Craig, your Dave Ramsey Master Financial Coach.
And I'm Amanda, a corporate in-house lawyer and real estate referral agent.
And we are both so grateful you've joined us. Check us out on Facebook at Rock on the Money or our website at rockonthemoney.com. What's up? Welcome to 2021.
Yeah, I saw this funny meme the other night that said, I don't know about you, but I'm a little concerned when the next year is literally pronounced 2021. Like,
I know.
Yeah. Like, all right, year, you won. Yeah. You win.
I'm looking forward to this year. This is going to be a great year. I'm really have high hopes. Don't let me down.
Yeah, I mean, I'm already 40, so I can't turn 40 again, you know.
Wow. Well, a lot of women will disagree with you on that. But. All right, so Amanda, what do we got on this episode?
Well, we have something special in store for everyone. Nice. To start out the new year, we're going to do a two-parter. Ooh. Where this episode, we're going to start off with 20 of the 34 biggest no-nos, according to Susie Orman, the biggest money no-nos. She's got 34 of them. This episode, we're going to tackle 20 of them. And then on our next episode, episode 102, we'll wrap up the last 14. So it's a two-parter. Ooh. Never done that before, Craig.
No, it's a two-parter.
You can wait and listen to them together so you have them all together. But we wanted to make it digestible for everyone. Yeah. Otherwise, you know, anything too long, we might lose you.
Absolutely.
All right. So the first one here is don't be too quick to buy a home.
Oh, how
everyone,
true is that?
Home ownership, it's part of the American dream, right? But right. Buying one before you're financially able to can lead to disaster. You know, sometimes it makes sense to own a home, and sometimes, depending on where you live, it makes sense to simply rent. It's particularly true if you're in an expensive city or if you are somewhere more temporarily, it may not make sense to invest in a property. So why not invest that money in the stock market instead? That way you can grow your savings, maybe make a down payment in the future. And a good way is to put it in an automated account like the S&P 500 index that we've been talking about.
And just to add on to all this, it's not necessarily less expensive to buy a house as opposed right. to renting, because all yep. the repairs and everything is on you instead of the landlord.
Right.
And people yeah. seem to always forget that.
That's a great point. You can't afford to buy a home just because you have a down payment saved up. You need a down payment plus a big savings account for anything that might go wrong with your home. Because as Craig mentioned, you don't get to just call the landlord and say, hey, my toilet's leaking. Guess what? You're in charge of finding out why all the pipes in your house aren't working properly.
And I'm currently going through all these little repairs like that now that my house is approaching 20. I bought brand new and I had to do the roof. I had to do this. I have to do that. I'm sure I have to do driveway soon. I mean, people don't realize all that. You're literally coming up with a budget every year for your emergency fund to cover all this stuff. Like HVACs only last 10 to 15 years. So you gotta mm-hmm. That's a $10,000 hit every yeah. 10 to 15. So it's like, $1,000 a year has to be budgeted for that, yet you know it's coming. It's
right.
It's crazy. Anyway, I don't want to dwell on it, but yeah, don't be so quick.
Yeah, we have 33 more to go. Craig.
Yeah, sorry. Sorry.
All right. Number two, don't lease a car. We've talked about this before. You should never, ever, 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 ever lease a car.
Not ever.
Nope. We call it the great fleecing, because if you lease, yeah. you're going to sink your money into several years worth of car payments and be empty handed when the lease term is done.
This isn't even debatable. People want to argue with us. Look, just don't do it.
Don't do it.
I can't even think
of a single. People like to do it because it makes it look as if you can afford a car that you really can't afford, because they trick you into saying, well, the payments are so much lower than if you had bought the car, you know, and it's because you're really, it's just a really tricky way to have you rent a car, right? It's not even yours, except that you're responsible for all the repairs and everything that goes wrong with it. It's a weird rental agreement, right?
Right. That's all you're doing.
Yeah. So we always say pay cash for cars, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if you cannot pay cash and you absolutely need the vehicle in order to get back and forth to work, to earn your money, then you should finance it, but no more than 36 to 42 months. And it should only be what percentage of your take home pay, Craig?
Ooh, that was actually 15.
Yeah, but it shouldn't really take you more than 3 years to pay it off. And then if it does take you longer than that, then it's out of your price range. You certainly should not be financing a car for 7 years. You know, they offer these 72-month loans now. It's just outrageous.
With the average car payment of $511 a month, that's the average.
Yeah.
Out there, it's insane. Anyway.
So what's 511 times 72?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, $36,792. Keep your eye out for used cars. It's a great way to go. Models that are just a few years old can have a great safety specifications and the same audio visual tech as new cars at a fraction of the price. Make someone else pay for that depreciation right off the lot.
Yep.
Number three. Oh, this is a biggie. Don't co-sign a loan.
Wait a minute. You mean like an unmarried couple and the one person really wants to get that car, so you co-sign with them because you think you're going to get married?
Yes, yes. Oh. So when a friend or family member or boyfriend or girlfriend is in need and asks you to co-sign, the only correct response is to say no. You know, don't be afraid to say no to others because that's saying yes to yourself. When you co-sign a loan, you become legally responsible for paying back the money, and life is unpredictable. And if anything happens to prevent you from or to prevent them from repaying the loan, then you are going to be on the hook for making those payments. And guess what? It's going on your credit report, impacting your credit score for all these people out here who are obsessed with keeping a high credit score, right?
But Amanda, they're engaged. It'll be okay.
Yeah, things happen. So it's not official until the piece of paper is signed.
That's like every Judge Judy episode every day.
Yeah.
Is that?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. All the time.
Yeah, and it's not just if people break up. It's unexpected things happen all the time. So, you know, heaven forbid someone passes away before the wedding and you're co-signing a loan, you're responsible for a loan for someone who's not even around to go after.
Right. It doesn't go away. It's still an active loan because there's someone active on the loan.
That's right. That's right. So, you know, there are other circumstances, even if you feel super secure in your relationship and like there's absolutely nothing that would prevent you from getting married. Well, if 2020 taught us anything is that you can't predict what's going to happen.
No.
Okay. Number four, don't take Social Security too soon.
I think some people would argue with you on that one. Well, Susie Orman, not you, but there's, I guess, two ways you could do that, but. Yeah, it's a.
This is Susie Orman's list, so she's not going to argue with me.
No.
She'd be arguing with herself. But yeah. Craig, this is more in your area. So
why you call me old? I'm not that old. Come on, no.
I'm saying you're retired.
Yeah, but there's different avenues with this because people that have like an active pension will take this early and then take that Social Security amount and put it 100% back into an investing and make more than that 8% they're losing per year. Does that make sense?
Just talk to the normal. Yeah. So again, like anything, all of our lists and tips and tricks are general guidance and don't necessarily apply to every circumstance. But in general, it's not a good idea to take retirement early.
No,
it's worth delaying it to age 70, which seems quite a ways for someone like myself, but maybe closer for you.
Just go on with your list.
But every year you wait between your normal retirement age and 70, it adds 8% to your eventual monthly payout. What's the earliest you can take it, Craig? Like 62?
62.
So between 62 and 70, there's 8 years, 8%. And we know the rule of 72 means that that money's going to double in how many years at 8%?
It would actually double.
Nine.
Yep.
It would just about double if you waited.
Right.
Right. So would you rather have a pot of, you know, $1 million or $2 million to take from?
Yep.
Yeah.
No, the general answer for most people is to wait, but a lot of people don't want to. They're tired of working and they want to get that money as quick as possible, but you're now locked into that amount. unless Congress approves an increase, that amount per month has to last you now till you die.
Right, right, so exactly. That's the key. And you know, living well into 80s and even 90s is no longer a rare event. More and more people are making it to those milestones.
Right.
So it doesn't necessarily hurt. I mean, I'm an advocate of retire when you feel like you have the money that you want to retire. So if Social Security in combination with your other investments gets you to your number, then that's another story.
So you and I are in the same boat where I don't even count my Social Security for my retirement money income.
Yeah.
If that shows up, that's my travel money for the month is how I'm going to treat it. It's like, oh, look what just showed up. I'll use it for either investing or my travel and stuff like, you know what I mean?
It's like, it'll be like a monthly stimulus check.
Yes, that's the problem. Good. I like that. That's how we should call it from now on. That's our stimulus check every month when we're old. All right. Well, when
I'm the government old. Gives you back some of the money that they took from you. Yes.
And the reason you and I feel like that is it may or may not be here in the future. So if it's there, it's great. But I would rather be self-sufficient that I don't have to rely on an outside source for my income when I'm 80 years old. That's what I'm worried about. So I just don't count it.
Right, right. Anyway. All right. Number five, don't sell stocks when markets are bad. Oof,
Craig, people do that all the time. I know
you're a big fan of timing the market, right?
No, I hate timing. I'm going to stay off my pedestal. I promise. I'm going to stay off the soapbox.
So when stocks are hurling lower, investors tend to drop them fast. And it's a bad idea, right? Like the old adage is buy low, sell high. But right. People who are in the stock market today, I'm talking to you, Robin Hooders, have this panic when they start to see things go. And so they bail, right? Well, then it becomes a whole like flock of people who are all seeing the same pattern and all dumping, and it just keeps going down. But anyway, instead of dumping the stock, you should keep investing the same amount each month, regardless of what the market's doing. That way, a bad month for the market becomes a good month to invest because you're getting that investment on sale.
And computer algorithms take advantage of the people that panic. And they know, the computers know, because most trading is actually done by computers. They're waiting for people to dump it. They're programmed to recognize that price and they grab them. So because you're panicking, the computer's like, that's on sale. Then they buy low and sell high. That's how the algorithms work. So, or smart people, smart investors that don't panic, like, huh, that price should not be there because that company is worth a lot more than that. I'm going to buy it because they panicked. So don't be those people.
When there's a bad day in the market, I sit and think, okay, where's the biggest sale today? Exactly. What can I buy more of?
You and everybody else, you and the smart people are looking for that. Yeah. So, but most of you should be sticking with the mutual funds anyway.
You should.
Stay out of stocks. Yeah.
And we're going to get to that later. Investing in an ETF like the S&P 500 has been proven time and time again to outperform actively managed portfolios.
Oh, it's killing it now. We were totally right.
No, don't we wish? I mean, I don't necessarily wish for another 2008 type meltdown, but people who were putting money into the stock market that year in 2009, 2010, they made a fortune because they bought the stocks for pennies on the dollar, and now they're hanging on to a literal fortune.
I'm not saying a word.
Because that's you.
Well, I wrote it. Well, no, I increased my contributions to my 457. When everyone else was selling, I called in. Even though I was nauseous when all that happened.
I remember.
I sucked on my pride. I'm like, I'm going to increase my money. Because it was so low. I called my HR. I maxed it out. And because I did that, oh my God.
Craig and I actually met in 2008, which is there funny. And I remember, Craig, you were very grumpy some days.
That was bad. A lot of people lost their jobs. Go watch 60 Minutes. There's a great thing about back when people couldn't even find jobs, and it was bad. Luckily, I worked for the government. But
I was out of work for 3-4 months. Yeah, it was awful.
It was bad. Anyway.
All right. Number six.
I was grumpy.
Yeah. So here's another one to make you grumpy.
Yes.
Don't put blind faith in a financial advisor.
Exactly.
Yeah. Now, so Susie thinks it's important to have a financial advisor you can trust. She says, don't think that they're always going to have your best interest at heart, because probably they have their own best interest at heart, which, Craig, that goes right along with what you and I have always been saying. The other thing I would add in here, though, that she doesn't touch on is that I don't necessarily think everyone needs a financial advisor.
No, I agree.
Most people are in position to manage their own investments and their own financial situation just by listening to what Craig and I say, reading books like The Total Money Makeover, Everyday Millionaires, and other books that we promote on our, or I shouldn't say promote, that we recommend on our book list. You are completely capable of managing your own affairs. That being said, if you feel compelled to have a financial professional in your life, make sure he or she is a what is called a fiduciary, which means that they have a legal act, a legal duty to act in your best interest. So, Craig, you always say, ask them about how they're going to be compensated, right?
Right.
And what's better? We always say what? Fee-based advisor?
Fee-based only. They make no commissions, or they're not dual hatters, meaning they're not also a broker and a financial advisor, because they legally can take that hat and flip it. And you don't know they flipped it. Now they're making money as a broker, making money on the stuff that they're promoting to you. And stay away from that.
When he says making money, that means on commission on whatever they recommend to you. So whenever anyone's motivated by commission, they're trying to sell you something so that they can make money. If they're paid by fee only, then they're going to get the same amount of pay whether or not they recommend X versus Y. So it gives you an idea of what their motivations are when they invest your money.
It could be the company that they work for, like some big major company name that's sitting outside that door as you walked in, is telling them, we need to push this, this, this. They're just following directions from people above them. So stay away from that.
Yes. Number 7, don't borrow from your 401k.
Oh my God. That should have been number 1.
Craig, this is your chance to say what you say every episode.
Yeah. Don't touch your 401k. There's not a single reason. We're not even getting into the special reasons. There is no reason. Stop it.
Yeah. Yeah, we're not going to belabor this one, but the biggest mistake you'll ever make with your retirement money is if you borrow from it, especially if you use it to pay off other debt. It'll bring you a tax bill and a 10% penalty if you're younger than 59 and a half. I know someone's going to write in and say, well, they're waiving the penalties right now and something like that. Fine, whatever. It still is not a good idea, because you're going to lose out on so many gains.
You can't double that money every year if it ain't in there. Plain simple. Yep. Unless you have money in there, you can't double your money. So,
Can't put more money in until you've repaid the loan.
That's the kicker right there. You can't put more in until you pay off the loan.
Yep. So number 8 kind of goes hand in hand with this. Don't let debt linger. So this is one of our biggest things, right? Baby step number 2, Craig. Debt.
Yes.
Get rid of your debt. Debt is bondage. You never want to have, you'll never have the financial freedom that you deserve if you have debt. And not all debt is the same. I know people are make this argument that mortgages, student loans are good debt, but that's not really true, right, Craig?
No, debt is debt.
Debt is debt.
Good debt.
Right. So just because you pay something to a bank or instead of a loan shark doesn't make it good. And by loan shark, I'm basically referring to credit cards. Credit cards have much higher interest rates. And the longer you put off paying down credit card balances, the more money you lose. So again, debt is debt. Get rid of it all. And you can't call yourself debt free if you still have a car payment and a mortgage payment. But just don't have credit cards. So there are plenty of people out there who think that they don't have debt, but they really do, because they're stuck in this idea of good debt versus bad debt.
But Amanda, it's New Year's month and they have great trucks on sale with 0% interest financing. So it's free money.
Yeah.
What's wrong with you?
So I don't know. I mean, go back one or two episodes ago when I talked about, you know, what we've been able to accomplish in the last 6 or 7 years.
Yeah.
I attribute a big portion of that to not having a car payment.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. That's a big chunk of money every month.
Yep.
Debt is debt. Like Craig, I don't care if it's 0%.
Like Craig said earlier, $511 a month. That's what? $6,000 a year?
If you put that into an index fund 40 years from now, you're a millionaire.
Yeah. So that $500 payment a month could be your Roth IRA payment to max out your Roth IRA for the year.
And then turns into a million when you're 65. Done. It's literally that easy. It is.
Yep. Yeah.
But you don't want to. So
here's a fun one. I think we're on number 9, right?
Yes.
Don't spend to impress others.
That's another big one of mine.
Yeah. The keeping up with the Joneses, right? Yeah. Like the Joneses are broke.
Yes. So. Yes.
Let's see. So Susie actually said she knows from experience how foolish it is. She, despite what she says now, I mean, all of us who are giving these tips generally have some of these mistakes in our background, right? Like I've leased a car before. Yeah. Terrible. It was, and I regret it. That's why I'm trying to warn you all, but please don't make the same mistakes I did. But Susie herself, she leased a fancy BMW and bought a Cartier watch with money borrowed from her 401k.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. Just to impress a woman she was dating. She says it was the most stupid thing I've ever done with my money.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, in the end, spending money you don't have to impress others will leave you with one, shallow relationships and stressful bills. And the other person isn't going to be super impressed long term.
No. Or you're now causing them to do the same thing and so on and so on. And now everybody's in debt trying to impress each other. But at the end of the day, it really doesn't matter.
That's so true, Craig. What do we always say? That you're the average of your five.
The five people you hang out with most is who you become. So if all them are buying stuff, well, you feel like you got it and you think it's okay.
Yeah, it's a funny story. My husband and I go on a walk almost every day. That's our one-on-one time to converse.
Right.
And we were talking about that average of five. And he's like, well, who are my five people? And I said, well, one of them's me. That's why you're doing better than your other four people.
Oh, wow. Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like, well, who are my other people? They must be terrible because my portfolio performs better than his.
Yeah, this is Robin Hood buddies. All right.
But Craig, you're in our group of five as well.
Aw. Don't I feel special?
Thank goodness you're dragging me up. Otherwise, you know, my husband's dragging me down.
So we average out. Great.
Just kidding.
Nah, he's a good guy.
He's great.
Yep.
Okay, so number 10, don't stay at a job you hate. So this one's controversial, especially right now, right?
Yeah.
When jobs are kind of hard to come by in some cases. But 2/3 of workers aren't really into their jobs. And if you're in that group, you're selling yourself short. Staying in a job you don't like is disrespectful to yourself and your loved ones, she says. There's no way you can tell me that doesn't negatively impact your relationships. And I think she has a point there, right?
Absolutely. Like
if you're not happy, the people around you are probably going to suffer as a result, right?
Yep. Nope.
Obviously, quitting may not be the answer. Before you start looking around for a new opportunity, see if the job you have can be modified to address whatever it is that makes you unhappy. I think that's great advice.
It is. Yeah. Don't just bail. What can I do to fix this?
Yeah, I mean, there's more than one way to fix that problem. So can you modify your current position? Now, obviously, if you're a barista and there's only one thing a barista does, right? You can't say, you know what? I don't like making frappuccinos, so I'm not going to do that part of my job.
Right.
But, you know, so that's one option depending on the type of job you're in. Or maybe you can move to a different company that does something similar. Or you could find a side hustle that gives you some joy in your life. Again, we are working to live. We don't live to work. So your job doesn't define you.
Right.
I think that's important for people. So yeah, do what you need to do during the workday. It's not necessarily meant to be fun. It's great if you do find something that you love doing. Lucky you. Not all of us are that lucky, depending on our preparation in life and our skill sets. But that's why you get paid, is because it's something not everyone wants to do, right?
Yep. Exactly. Hey, how about we take a quick break and we'll come back and we'll do some more?
Okay.
All right. We'll be back right after this. You're listening to Rock on the Money.
Hey Hey there, rock stars. Amanda here with ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Are you about to sell your home or excited to buy your first or next home? I'll be honored to help you find an expert to work with you in your local area. At ChoiceRealtyConnect.com, I'll help match you with up to 3 qualified licensed agents that specialize in your specific market. Choice Realty Connect serves every zip code in all 50 states with a network of 15,000 top-rated agents that are ranked within the top 5% for sales. Whether you're selling or looking for a condo, new construction, retreat, vacation property, or you're a first-time home buyer, let me connect you with the perfect top agent today. ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. The choice is yours.
Amanda Braun is a Florida licensed real estate with a brokerage, Realty Connect.
Rockland, USA.
Susie Orman's what?
Biggest money mistakes.
Awesome. And don't forget to check out our website, rockonthemoney.com, for all of our previous episodes. There's like literally a gazillion episodes there.
Well, not literally, Craig. You're missing
literally. No, I counted them. There's a gazillion of them on there.
Or 100.
Yeah, 100 with a bunch of small nuggets shorter, as well. Smaller, so there's 150 on there total, which is like a gazillion.
Well, there you go.
There you go.
Now you have something to listen to when you're doing your New Year's resolution, working out with headphones on.
And they're
New
usually year, gone New by, year. What, Valentine's Day, right? Is that what they say?
Something like that.
I don't know. Yeah. All right. Where would we leave off at?
We are at number 11.
Ooh.
So number 11, don't spend on things you don't really need.
Mm.
This is a big one. When we talk about budgeting, we talk a lot about identifying wants versus needs. And there's no better way to organize your budget and figure out where you can save money than to be very express about what you need versus what you want. So do you need a fancy car or do you want a fancy car? You just need transportation, right? That's one thing. Is some things are necessities like medication, food from the grocery store, a solid pair of shoes for work, not designer shoes, right?
Yep.
Or some things that you just want, like drinks at the bar, fast food for dinner, or another pair of shoes. Shoes are a good one for a lady.
Yeah.
And fashionable men.
Guys do that too, by the way.
Yes.
With sneakers and yeah. So don't, it's not just women.
Yeah.
That was a sexist comment.
Sorry.
No, we're on.
So if it's a want, walk away. If it's a need, then buy it. Try it for 6 months and you'll see how much money you've saved. Or try it for 1 month. If you can't imagine 6 months of that, then try it for one. You know, January is very popular for being a time of year where people try out new things. You know, dry January is very popular where people don't drink for a month. You could try a dry financial January where you don't spend on any wants.
Yeah.
Number 12, don't retire too early. This kind of goes hand in hand what we talked about earlier about,
I retired a little early.
Craig's a hypocrite. About taking your Social Security too early. But this is also more, also about the FIRE movement, which is financial independence, retire early.
Right.
She hates it. I think it's a bit more nuanced than that, though. I think that people who are part of the FIRE movement generally are trying to quit jobs they hate so that they can work on projects that they enjoy and probably still make some income at, right?
I completely agree. I think it's more they want to be a entrepreneur.
Yeah.
They just want to get away from that and then do what they want to do so they don't hate the job that they're at and so on and so on. So I agree with you. Yep.
I mean, Craig, look at you. You're so allegedly retired, right?
I don't retire very well. I don't have to work. I don't. Right. I just love
You don't
it.
Have to, but he's working, what, 12 to 15 hours a day?
On a slow day, yeah. On like a Christmas day, yeah. I work 12 hours, yeah.
All right. But yeah, so he's working more, 7 days a week, 12 to 15 hours a day.
Three full-time jobs in retirement.
Yeah.
So you can see why I have a lack of patience when people say they don't have money and they're not doing anything but they're watching Netflix all day.
Yeah.
I may not have as much empathy for those people as people that are trying.
Right. So. Well, there are some good things on Netflix right now, though.
Well, that's true. Not The Office, though.
No.
No, that's gone.
Yeah. I mean, so Susie's issue is you need at least according to her, you need at least $5 million or $6 million if you want to retire at 35. And really, you need to, you might need like $10 million. So anything less wouldn't offer you enough protection from a potential financial catastrophe, like an expensive illness, right?
I actually completely agree with those numbers, 100%.
Yeah.
If you're going to retire that early, five is the absolute minimum. Ten is what you should aim for. Grant Cardone, which some people don't like him. I don't know if you've heard of Grant Cardone. He's done this math on the board, and it's like an illness. All it takes is one thing. You can have cancer and wipe out half of that money.
Right.
It does not take a lot to, or divorce, 50% gone or more. No, I mean, things happen in life if you're 35 years old. So you better have 10 to protect yourself. Five will not do it. I completely agree with that. If you're working on the chalkboard or marker board, whatever, whiteboard, you kids. No, if you're working on the whiteboard.
If you work on the slate.
Yeah, the slate.
With your abacus.
Yeah. But if you work it out, you'll see, five is the minimum you need if you want to retire early.
Yep. I agree. Number 13, don't go without a will. We've talked about this before. Ooh. Well, we had a special guest episode with my close friend, Sama. She was discussing the importance of getting your will in order. So do you have your estate planning in place? If not, you may want to think again. Everyone needs a will. Everyone needs a will. So I know most Americans don't have one because they think that they don't have anything that's worth anything to arrange for, right?
Right.
So you need a will in place so that your loved ones aren't stuck battling things out in court after you pass away. Instead, the will direct everything on your behalf to where it should go.
It's amazing to me how many celebrities, which have tens of millions or not hundreds of millions, have no will.
Like there was a big battle over Prince, right? Prince. In his estate.
It's crazy. That is insane.
Yeah, that's crazy.
It's just, I don't understand that. I guess bad managers, or I don't know how that works, but it's just, you have all that and then it ends up in courts. And then all the lawyers are the ones getting all the money in the end. It's just weird.
So number 14, don't take out a reverse mortgage in your 60s. All right. I hate bad mouthing people who have passed away, but this always makes me think about Alex Trebek and his commercials, right?
Right. They always find the most trusted guy and they use Alex Trebek and he does it. And I'm against him doing that because he may or may not know that's a bad idea. But these people that older people trust, well, if Alex Trebek says it, I should at least consider it.
Yeah. So a reverse mortgage is a type of home equity loan for seniors. Again, it's a loan, so it's a debt. And it allows you to receive the money as a lump sum or in monthly installments. The loan is repaid with interest when you die or sell the house. So you're taking a loan against your asset, and then you won't have as much of an asset left to pass on to your heirs.
Right.
Now, you can take one starting at age 62, but it's definitely risky. It's a last resort for emergency money, and you should wait as long as possible before even thinking about going that route.
And people usually do it out of desperation.
Yeah. And, you know, once you start tapping into the equity, it's not an unlimited fund. There's only as much available as the equity you have in your home. So a couple of issues here. If you still have a mortgage on your home, you don't have as much equity as what the home's worth, right?
Right.
If you have an inexpensive home, then you only have a very limited amount of equity. And when it's gone, it's gone. You don't get to keep taking negative equity on your home.
So if you keep living, now that money is gone. Now
it's gone. And then you can't afford to live anywhere. You have no home. You have no money. You're in dire straits.
If you're not fixing the leak in the boat and you just keep bailing the water out, at the end of the day, the leak is still going to be there. You got to figure it out. You got to correct what is causing the financial issue, and trying to fix it with a Band-Aid of a reverse mortgage is not going to correct it. And at the end of the day, it's going to be a bad idea.
Yeah. All right. Number 15, don't miss out on matching money. If you have a 401k or other retirement plan through work, don't leave free money on the table. Now, I say that with a caveat, Craig. you shouldn't be investing in your retirement if you still have debt.
We shouldn't be doing any retirement savings until you got rid of all the debt, except for your mortgage. We do allow the mortgage. Yep.
Yeah. So again, it is wise to take advantage of any matches that are there. It is free money, but only if it matches where you are in your life.
I have a lot of coworkers at an airline that cannot stop doing this while they have debt.
Yeah.
And because it's such a high company match of 9.3%, which is one of the highest out there.
It is high, yeah.
They're like, well, I'm missing out on that. I'm like, yeah, but you're leaking more than that by having debt. You gotta get rid of the debt first.
You gotta get rid of the debt. It's like bailing out a boat that still has a leak in it.
Right. You're not going to get anywhere. You got to get rid of that debt. You cannot retire with debt. You can't build wealth while you have debt. You got to get rid of the debt first. The most powerful wealth building tool you have is your income. Take all that income you have and put towards the debt.
Exactly.
Yep.
Yep. 16, don't ever buy a new car.
Ooh.
Yeah. So we kind of talked about this with the leases as well. But as soon as you buy a brand new car, you drive it off the lot, it depreciates 10 to 20%.
Yep.
Sometimes more. Let somebody else get that depreciation. Your home may appreciate in value, but that doesn't happen with a car. So don't waste your money on new. Always buy used. I like certified used, Craig. I buy and look for a certified used because I like the fact that they come with a very similar warranty to what a new car would get, and sometimes service plans, and they're still in great shape with very low mileage.
It's like getting a new car. It's only 2 years old, typically. 2 or 3. Yep. And so it's still new. Right.
You get the best deals on 2 to 3 year old vehicles.
Those and are those lease cars those suckers got. Buy the lease cars, right?
Yep. All the lease returns are great deals.
Yeah.
So then keep it as long as you can. You know, at least 10 years, maybe 15 or 20. That's how wealthy people do it, including Susie, including Craig.
Well,
including me.
Well, at the rate this pandemic's going, that car out there I have right now in my garage, I literally go drive it every now and then just to make sure it works. Because I'm like, why do I even have this thing here? It's literally costing me money sitting in my garage. I know I'll eventually need it, even though it's paid for, you still have to pay insurance on it.
And
it's got full coverage on it, even though it doesn't go anywhere, which I should probably call and change limited mileage. But at any point, this could all change. Then I got to go change it back. So I'm just letting it ride, which is probably not a good idea, but that's what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm. Number 17, don't go without life insurance. Mm. So this one, you and I may disagree with on Susie. Again, these are general statements.
Right.
I fall into the camp. So her issue is 4 out of 10 adults have no life insurance. She does state, for parents in particular, life insurance is a product you can't afford to go without. And that I agree with.
Yep.
It provides peace of mind because it'll protect your family if something happens to you and you're suddenly out of the picture. And it's cheap as long as you go with
term life insurance.
Not whole or universal, or all these other stupid names.
Term life insurance.
No whole, no universal. No deferred equity, I've heard that.
They come up with all these new names to confuse you, and at the end of the day, it's whole life insurance. Stay out of that.
Yes, it should just be a level term life insurance, meaning the premiums never change. It's for a set amount of time. That's what the term is. And that's all you need. And you only really need it if there's someone in your life who is dependent on your income and your financial support.
It's literally $1 a day. On average.
Now you sound like a commercial.
It sounds like we're trying to save dogs with the SPCA. It's literally $1 a day, though. It does sound like a commercial. Yeah, the whole life is much more expensive, and trust me, it's not good. Now, the reason why it's term is once you get 20, 30 years down the road, you should have been debt-free, build up wealth, and at some point, you become self-sufficient and you don't need life insurance.
And no one else is depending on your income and your financial. Like my parents don't need life insurance in order to provide for me and my siblings, right? We are all grown adults. We all provide for ourselves. We are not depending on our parents. So it would be silly for my parents to have life insurance to support us.
I don't have life insurance.
I don't have life insurance.
And I don't need it. And the other thing is, here's the other thing people buy insurance for as an investment. Life insurance is insurance. It's not an investment. Do not buy insurance as an investment, which is whole life. Or we're not buying insurance to leave that to our heirs. That's not how old insurance works.
Right. And we have a whole insurance.
Yes. So. We've talked about this ad nauseum.
Ad nauseum. So go ahead and look it up. Number 18, don't ever miss a student loan payment. This is also a bit controversial right now. So if you're struggling with student loan debt, whatever you do, don't just throw up your hands and stop paying. Student loans are not dischargeable debts. So even if you file for bankruptcy, you can't erase this debt. They are the most dangerous debt you can ever have. And it's so crazy to me that we don't let 18-year-olds generally get mortgages, right? Yeah, you can't have a mortgage that would be secured by an actual asset, but you can get an unsecured loan for, hey, here's $100,000. Yeah. Be responsible with it. We trust you.
But
so if you try to walk away from your loans, the debt will catch up with you. The government can garnish your wages. In other words, they'll just take whatever you owe directly from your pay. Now, I know right now there's this program to allow for deferrals. Deferral is different than just stopping your payment altogether. So if you've worked with your loan servicer and work out a deferment, that's very different than just deciding, you know what, I just can't afford to pay, so I'm not going to send in my payment.
Right. But Amanda, what if I just bankrupt? I can just get rid of it that way, right?
You can't. It's going to be there no matter what. So if that's the only debt you have and that's what's causing you to be bankrupt, filing for bankruptcy will do nothing for you.
Right. Yeah, that loan, guys, is with you till you pay it off.
Yeah.
Yep.
Number 19, don't invest for the wrong reasons.
This is common. Actually,
especially right now.
Oh my God.
So she says that too many people, especially young people, make investment choices purely because a stock seems cool or trendy. Mm-hmm. We've seen this, haven't we?
That sounds like Robin Hood wrapped up in a sentence.
It does. And all these Robin Hooders are investing in names that they know. It's kind of like what we saw with the Airbnb IPO, right? People know Airbnb, they invest in it.
Well, everyone was jumping on Hertz rental car, a bankrupt company. And everyone kept driving the price up. I'm like, what is this? That's not how you do it.
Yeah. So they decide, you know, this company is great. I'm going to invest in that.
Yeah.
If that's your strategy, maybe you'll hit it, but maybe you'll hit it wrong. It's less risky to diversify your investing by putting your money into index funds or ETFs like Craig and I recommend, like the S&P 500 index, which have very low fees and rates. And you can just put in a regular amount in. It doesn't matter if the price is up or down that day when you invest in, you're going to get the benefit of dollar cost averaging.
But people call that boring. You know what I mean? Boring. And they're like, oh, Susie's old. She doesn't know how we invest nowadays. No, this method has worked for decades, guys. It is supposed to be boring. You're not even supposed to touch it. Just keep dumping money in there and leave it alone. Long-term mindset.
And I posted an article on our page last week that there's been research and studies done to prove that those Robin Hooders are actively losing money compared to the S&P 500 index.
So basically, the article backed up my theory that you don't make money day trading.
Yeah, and people think they're doing great because they're getting good returns,
right.
But it's all perspective. The returns are still not as good as if they'd simply kept them in the S&P 500 index fund.
And when you do all that trading in stocks, you got to pay taxes on those if you don't hold them long term. I mean, at the end of the day, guys, just dump it in the index fund, which now Tesla's in there, so you should be all happy and everything now. Mm-hmm. I mean, just put your money in the index fund. It is set to keep taking off, guys. So everything that we've said since we started the podcast, Amanda, are you saying we've been, say it, right?
Oh, I'm generally right.
Well, you are always right.
Ask but my husband.
We have nailed, even before the pandemic was even existence, we have been correct since over a year and a half.
Yes.
Everything has been correct. And we didn't even know there was a pandemic coming.
That's right.
Anyway, good.
All right. So last one of the day, number 20, don't say it's impossible to save. I love this tip.
Oh, yeah.
Too often when we tell people that they need to put savings first or they need to, you know, put priority on saving, they say it's impossible because there's never any money left over at the end of the month. there's no money left because you haven't evaluated your spending habits, and you need to be willing to dig deep and change those habits. Practically anyone can squeeze out up to $100 in hidden money for saving and investing each month, she says. For example, you might boost your home energy's efficiency and cut your utility bills by as much as 10% by caulking drafty windows. That's her suggestion. Putting weather stripping around exterior doors and switching to energy saving light bulbs. Or you could take any of the numerous Savvy Savings episodes that we have posted on our website for other tips on how to cut costs from your monthly bills.
Yeah, everything that you've said, if you just do that, you can get a couple hundred a month. Easy.
Yeah.
Without even trying.
Well, $100 a month invested, you'd be surprised how quickly that can grow.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, so this is above and beyond your emergency fund we're talking about, but you know, even as that as a starting point, if you're on baby step one and you need to start saving $1,000, some people give up even at baby step one. They're like, nope, this is an impossible task. I can't do it.
Yeah,
I think you can. And 2021 is going to be the year you do it.
Just make it a goal, map it out. How am I going to do this? Resolutions don't work. Yeah. But you got to change your life. You decide. It's up to you. No excuses. Everybody has an excuse. I don't make enough.
So that's number 20. We're wrapping up this episode with number 20. And next episode, we will start with 21.
These are the year
2021.
These are two good episodes. I like this. All right, guys. So check out part two in the next episode. And that was great, Amanda. And we'll be back on the next one with how many more are there? So 21 through
34. So 34. 14 more to go.
Nice. Nice. All right, guys. We'll see you on the next episode.
You can find Amanda on Instagram and Twitter at Agile Amanda. And you can find me on all of your favorite social media platforms at Rockland USA. Don't forget to check out the website and subscribe to the podcast. All the links are right there on the front page, rockonthemoney.com. Please subscribe and leave comments to our podcast on Apple, Google, Spotify, or even your favorite app that you got right there on your phone. Those help us out a lot. If you're ever looking for a specific topic or content that we've produced over time, just go to the website and in the search bar, just type in your topic, be it 401k, stimulus check, or anything, and everything comes right up for you. We have so much gratitude that you've taken the time out of your day to listen to our podcast while you're walking, driving, traveling, or whatever you're doing. Please send us an email. Let us know how you're doing out there. podcast@rocklandusa.com. So long, everybody. Thank you very much again. We'll see you again next time. All opinions expressed by the host are solely their own and do not reflect the views of any company, affiliates, or advertisers. Investments or strategies mentioned in the show may not be suitable for you. Before acting on any information in the show, you should consider whether it is suitable for your particular circumstances and strongly consider seeking advice from your own financial or investment advisor.